I am of the belief that we need heroes. Heroes bring us hope in a world that would hold little hope because of sin. And that's why the legend of King Arthur has captivated so many down through the centuries. For in Arthur, we have this heroic figure who fits the idea of what a king should be in both war time and in peacetime. If ever there was a hero, it's Arthur, a king of heroic proportion. While there has been a never-ending debate about how much of King Arthur is fact and how much is fiction, but most scholars would agree that the Arthurian legend has at least some basis in reality. Most likely, Arthur was either a king or at least a great war leader who won important battles against the Anglo-Saxons. And the real Arthur probably was from Wales, living sometime in or around the 5th or 6th century. A monk from Wales in the 9th century would introduce King Arthur for the first time as a historical figure in his book, The History of Britain. And in this work, Arthur is referred to as a leader of battles, as the monk would recall 12 consecutive battle victories that Arthur led his troops in. In fact, he is reported to have single-handedly slain 960 Saxon warriors himself in one of those battles. However, it's not until 1138 that a Christian bishop named Geoffrey Monmouth would compile all the ancient oral traditions that surround the legend of Arthur, and he would expand upon them and embellish the Arthurian legend in a book entitled The Kings of Britain. It was largely a fictional work, but it was made to read like real history. And what it did is it took the Welsh legend about Arthur and it made him a popular household name throughout all of 12th century medieval England. It's out of Monmouth's imagination put to the page that we meet people like Uther Pendragon, Arthur's father, a great king in his own right. It's also from his pen that the world would first learn of the magician Merlin, who would become a lifelong mentor and advisor of Arthur. It's from him that we become acquainted with the various knights of the Round Table and their unique quests. And it's through him that we would first hear about the fabled kingdom of Camelot. The legend would continue to grow in the 14th century with Sir Thomas Malory's famous tale of the death of Arthur. It was Malory who added the famous adulterous love affair between Arthur's knight Lancelot and his wife Guinevere. And although the details differ as to the legend of Arthur, as it would continue to evolve, here's the basic plot line. Arthur defeats the Saxons so successfully during his reign that they would cease to be a threat to the Britons. Arthur would become a king who would conquer much of England, and he would usher in an epic period of peace and prosperity. A just man, Arthur would establish the rule of civil law over that rule of tyrants that suggest that might makes one right. Arthur is heroic in how he defends the weak and shows mercy to those who don't deserve it in his chivalrous realm known as Camelot. In fact, Camelot has come to represent a perfect world where goodness and justice prevail. But this peaceful and perfect kingdom of Camelot would be threatened, and Arthur would leave to defend it. And in his absence, his nephew Mordred would seize the throne. Arthur would return and kill Mordred, but himself would be mortally wounded on the battlefield. And he would be carried off to the Isle of Avalon. And in his absence, the Saxons would return and conquer the Britons and become more ruthless and more oppressive than ever. And so the people who had lived under Arthur's benevolence as a king, who knew of his legendary wisdom and goodness, found themselves naturally longing for his return. And the people's hopes for that return would be expressed on Arthur's tombstone, supposedly located at one time at the Gastonbury Abbey, and would read, "Here lies Arthur, the once and future king." Now, in the middle of the 20th century, noted author T.H. White would retell the life and legend of Arthur in his book by that name, The Once and Future King. Only the version of King Arthur is that version that you and I are the most familiar with. It's probably because The Sword in the Stone by Disney followed this plot line. What makes White's retelling of Arthurian legend so compelling is that for the first time he made this legend approachable because he spoke of him in his childhood. White would introduce to us the boy Arthur when he was merely known as the Wart. White's readers were able to relate to a small boy named Wart in a way that previous generations had not been able to relate to that larger-than-life figure of King Arthur. People found it easier to identify with a little boy who had not yet become a legendary warrior king, and it seemed to make Arthur more real. In the same way as Christians, we know this is true of Jesus. Jesus comes to us as that baby born in Bethlehem, and he makes an otherwise unapproachable and incomprehensible God accessible and easy for us to grasp. The infinite God, who is said to be a consuming fire, is hard for us mere mortals to understand without fear. But as that baby born to Mary, we can get our hands around God, and we can receive God in a way that does not frighten us. White would write and polish this tale about the noble King Arthur before, during, and after World War II. While the world was being exposed to the evils of Hitler and the atrocities of the Nazis, people found it enjoyable and they were eager to read about the heroic goodness of Arthur. And so the book becomes wildly popular because the world needed a hero at that time to buffer it against the disappointment and the disillusionment that two world wars had caused. People longed for a world like Camelot, where good could still triumph over evil. They longed for a hero as noble as King Arthur. But in reality, they needed Christ. For Arthur's utopian dream of Camelot proved fragile, and we know it eventually crumbled. The hope of Camelot died with Arthur. But with Christ, he has promised us an eternal kingdom that cannot perish or spoil or fade and is laid up for us in heaven. You know, it's not by accident that the men who wrote down the legend of King Arthur were Christian men. They were medieval monks and bishops. They were clerics in the Christian church. And as clergy, what they did is they resurrected a pagan legend of a king for Christian purposes. The clergy, you see, reinvented Arthur during the Middle Ages to look more and more like Christ. And the legend of King Arthur becomes more and more attractive as he comes to reflect Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not hard to see how those who have rewritten Arthur's story down through the centuries patterned his more noble traits and the traits of Camelot after Christ and the church. After all, Arthurian legend is based on humanity's hope for a good king who could save them against their enemies. And I ask you in real life, who fits that description better than our Jesus? For Jesus Christ alone is that name given in heaven and earth by which we must be saved. And so the legend of King Arthur, as great as it was only a faint reflection of the true and historic Jesus who would ride as a king into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. On that day, Jesus would be hailed by the crowds as a hero, as a king. Only his throne would not be some impressive high-backed chair, but a painful cross. And there he would win our love and loyalty and become our leader. For this Jesus who came into our world is everything that you and I could hope for in a king and more. He is that true hero and champion that God sent to earth to right the ancient wrongs of sin. He came and defeated our most dreaded enemies, death and the devil. And he came to usher in a kingdom of peace, a kind of true Camelot based on higher and holier things than the world seeks after. Heroes of noble character in our day seem to be a thing of the past. In fact, we live in the age of the anti-hero. What I mean by that is our culture now delights in finding fault with our heroes, and at the same time, it shows the likable and redeemable traits of our villains. And so in this topsy-turvy world, we now vote to impeach our presidents and to mistrust our leaders, and at the same time, we find it harder and harder to blame or convict or punish even the most hardened criminals in our society. Society is constantly trying to convince us that good guys aren't that good and that bad guys aren't that bad. My friends, this world has gone crazy, and I, for one, cannot wait for that once and future king who will return and set things right. And of course, that once and future king whom I speak of is not the Arthur of legend, but is the Christ of history, Jesus of Nazareth. All heroes these days seem to have clay feet. They all seem to have some tragic weakness, some fatal flaw that would keep them from being real heroes. But Jesus is that true hero that everyone is looking for and longing for, sometimes without even knowing it. For only Jesus can really do what the legend of Arthur could never do. You see, the people hoped in vain that Arthur would be that once and future king, but death would eventually claim even the great King Arthur, so that all that we have left of him today is the legend and the lore surrounding him. It is only Jesus who can be our once and future king, because he died, but he lives forevermore. He was seemingly defeated and taken off the battlefield in death, only to come back to life victorious. And that makes him our once and future king. Only Jesus is not a legend like Arthur, who was simply inspired by man's longing and desire for someone to follow. But Jesus is God's own son, who actually entered human history to bring us a real hope and to usher in a real kingdom. Jesus is that timeless hero who entered time and space from his throne in heaven. He stepped into history so that you and I can have a hero to put our trust in. Our Jesus is our perfect hero, not only because of the perfect sacrifice that he made to put us right with God, but because he is perfect and without fault. He is the archetype of all heroes, including the legend of King Arthur. He is the epitome of the hero, for Christ is good, and he is strong, and he is noble, and he is merciful. And more than anything else, he always put your needs above his own in a way that no legendary hero never could. In this season of Advent, the church will celebrate God's Son, who is the King of the whole universe, a King who rode into Jerusalem humbly on the back of a donkey, as a servant king, to die on the battlefield of the cross, to save us from our dread enemies, death and devil. But we also focus on the imminent return of the future king. For this same Jesus, who loved the world and gave himself for it in his first coming, will come again to judge the unbelieving world and to crush those who oppose him. Our Lord Jesus came as a humble servant king to save us. He once entered Jerusalem, hailed as a king, but crucified for that same claim. And our Jesus will come again in clouds of glory in the future as a king to rescue us who believe and to right every wrong in this present world. Arthur was merely the dream. Jesus is the reality. Arthur was merely a legend. Jesus is actually and factually God at work in human history. Arthur was a vague hope. Jesus is biblical certainty. Arthur was called the once and future king, but because of his death and resurrection, Jesus is the once and future king. During Advent, Jesus still comes to us. He comes to us in his word and sacraments. And so through this word and through these sacraments, let you and I prepare to meet this Jesus when he returns as the once and future king. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.